with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its scenes while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stabbed flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more, people talking.
Well, I've been listening. Have you? Good evening. Jeffrey Bennett here for a Thursday night installment of The Edge on this 23rd day of July. I had this program planned out very tightly tonight. And less than an hour ago, this program took a completely new direction. My intent was to end this week with at least two, if not 3 days, of discussion of health. Well, in a roundabout way, we're still going to talk about health. Your mental health, your physical health, mine. I'm doing better tonight. I got over 12 hours sleep last night. First time I've done that in so long. I finally had reached bottom. This hour and a half, 2 hours sleep a day stuff wasn't cutting it anymore. And it's not that I attempted to sleep that long. I never heard the alarm this morning. I heard one phone call of the many that came in this morning. And that phone call was a robocall. And so very briefly, for those of you who have left messages and we've kind of gone back and forth over the last 2 days, I'm around. I'm available. I've attempted trying to call several of you, and actually one guy, Mike from New Hampshire, called back this morning, and I just said, man, I'm just wiped out, and so we'll talk probably tomorrow. But let's get it on. I want you to understand why this program has taken a turn, and there's two facets to what we're about to do. What we're going to be talking about is, in a roundabout way, the greatest assault on our civil liberties. And then when we get to the second part, well, to my friend, the author out there, he will understand. In the words of Dr. Ron Paul, he says, we are facing the greatest assault on our civil liberties in our lifetime. The virus is real, but the government reaction is political and totalitarian. As it all falls apart, will more Americans start fighting for their liberty? And you see, this has been amongst the biggest problems, my friends. You tune in, you listen, and then you stay in your seats and your sofas and your desks or your kitchen table, and you tune in for the next program, and the next, and the next, and the next. But what are you doing to fight for your liberties? Okay, so a mandate to wear masks may seem like a simple matter and a minor inconvenience to some, or maybe to many. But I don't think those who take this position have really considered all its implications and the long-range ramifications and consequences that might accompany the meek and the compliant, the acquiescence to even a temporary mask mandate. Seems to me, I recall, that the shutdowns were supposed to be only temporary until the case and the death rate curves were flattened. Well, they flattened. And yet, due to an increase in cases caused by an increase in testing, several state and local governments are going backwards. They're reinstating some form of the shutdown, some form of the control, all of which is absolutely untenable and unacceptable. It will crush our economy further. Until everything comes tumbling down and all the president's horses and all the president's men won't be able to put Humpty Dumpty together again. I'm sorry, that's Trump. But of course, you see, that's what they seek. That's what they must have in order to take power and to set mechanisms in place to ensure that they never lose grip on it. In a manner that will be nothing less than totalitarian. And so the more I witness from these Americans, the more I'm convinced we must resort to a hot war to fix this nation. All across America, people are being prevented from living a normal quality life by the governors of many states and the mayors of counties and cities who have looked to the Center for Disease Control for guidance in how they dictate acceptable behavior in society to the people regarding the reopening of businesses and schools and just everyday life. Of course, I've shared with you my opinions of the opening of the schools. The one thing I'd like to see is my wife back at work. However, you have an opportunity to do something for your children and your grandchildren that has not been offered to us before, and that's to keep them home and homeschool them and get them out of that damn diabolical system. But that's a side note. Of late, the most common diktat is the compulsory mask-wearing mandated in executive orders and delivered by the ill-informed petty tyrants through the breathless media, thrilling over the prospects of an authoritarian utopian socialist hell. Many powerful people in the various corporations and government offices have gained and are still gaining wealth and power from this COVID-19 panic. And yet good and decent patriotic Americans like yourselves and everywhere are asking what it's going to take to end this outrage. And that doesn't mean to modify it with any new normal decided by God knows whom and what connected authority. And since no one in authority is currently protecting and defending inalienable rights and individual liberty during this push towards a more authoritarian government, ruling over society, of course, a large percentage of Americans are left wondering, who will? Who's going to do it? Who's going to get up off of their lazy hind ends and fight for what's right? Our history will record one of the most ignoble times we have ever witnessed as this COVID scam is based on a set of untruths and baseless assertions, in many cases outright lies, that are being used to maintain fear throughout a virtual monopoly of communications to forestall challenges to the U.S. ruling class, led by the Democrat Party. And it will note the manner in which a failed opposition by the majority Republican Party confirmed the GOP as the ruling class's junior partner. Although no default has been greater than that of America's Christian churches, supposedly the guardians of truth, I hate to say it, folks, but our so-called guardians, the American Christian churches, have gone weak-kneed. Call all of this the plague of political agendas. Call it the plague of voodoo science. Either title fits. While observing the ignorant and asinine orders that emanate from the mania and psychotic neurosis or the Machiavellian desire of power of the petty tyrants who have bought their way to elected positions. However one sees it, when politics rule, true science dies. Even in our author's home state of Tennessee, numerous mayors have now mandated masks. Mayor Rogers Anderson of Williamson County attached a hefty fine and a possible 11 months and 29 days prison term with his mandate. And 2 days ago, or several days ago on June 20th, the mayor of Rutherford County, Bill Ketron, ordered masks to be worn in an order that took effect yesterday and will end on August the 3rd. The mayor of city of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Shane McFarland, recently told Jason Reynolds of the Murfreesboro Post that the majority of local health care officials ask the community to wear face coverings when social distancing is not possible. It is important for us to do all that we can to prevent the spread of the virus and avoid another shutdown. So please cover the nose and the mouth whenever you cannot social distance, end of quote. I guess they want to be seen giving the appearance of doing something. Rutherford County Sheriff's Department is supposedly going to take a position of trying to educate the people on the importance of wearing masks. I find that interesting. It's a sheriff's department going to educate the people on the importance of wearing masks? I wonder, will they be doing the same education for thieves and bank robbers and home invaders? I mean, often they wear masks, right? And yet, if all of this data from the Tennessee Department of Health can be believed, Rutherford County has had only 43 people die out of the 4,716, get this, confirmed and probable cases. That's merely 1.1%. It does not represent an emergency nor a pandemic. And so, let us educate all of the above who are participating in one of the largest propaganda and misinformation campaigns in United States history. Because it appears they have not kept current on the science, or they're not too bright, or they're actively manipulating the people for political purposes that have little to do with any concern for my health, or your health, or the health of anyone else. And so for all the smug, self-assured politicians and healthcare department inspectors who haven't cracked a book in the last decade, if you say you're following the science, you're essentially abrogating your own duties and obligations in favor of the technocrats' theories that aren't concerned with preserving anyone's liberty in the slightest. Oh, they all call for the science of this COVID event that has Americans everywhere making note of the regularly misleading and falsified data that many of them have relied upon or advanced as the truth. Let's share some of their own science with them. The reference, which is quite interesting because I actually was at this very lengthy publication last night. Our author, by the way, Justin O. Smith, of all that I'm sharing with you, is listening tonight. And for some unbeknown reason, maybe because I picked up the link on your particular article, I went to this piece last night. My biggest problem is I have a real difficult time promoting anything that comes out of the CDC or anything out of the medical community. But the thing that was most fascinating to me was not the article, but the 40 references and links that supported it. For the sake of those of you listening, the article is entitled Non-Pharmaceutical Measures for Pandemic Influenza in Non-Healthcare Settings. Personal Protective and Environmental Measures. Originally published in May of this year. I share with you one excerpt from the article, which states, here we review the evidence based on the effectiveness of non-pharmaceutical personal protective measures and environmental hygiene measures in non-healthcare settings and discuss their potential in pandemic plans. And although mechanistic studies support the potential effect of hand hygiene or face masks, evidence from 14 randomized controlled trials of these measures did not support a substantial effect on the effectiveness of improved hygiene nor environmental cleaning. Other excerpts from this review, and it's lengthy, between 970 and 972 pages. And it states, in our systematic review, we identified 10 RCTs, that's randomized controlled trials, that report estimates of the effectiveness of face masks in reducing laboratory-confirmed influenza virus infections in the community from literature published during the 1946, during 1946, up to July 27th of 2018. In pooled analyses, we found no significant reduction in influenza transmission with the use of face masks, and there is limited evidence for their effectiveness in preventing influenza virus transmission, either when worn by the infected person for SARS control or when worn by uninfected persons to reduce exposure. And it continues to say, our systematic review found no significant effect of face masks on transmission of laboratory-confirmed influenza. We did not find evidence to support a protective effect of personal protective measures or environmental measures in reducing influenza transmission. We did not find evidence that surgical-type face masks are effective in reducing laboratory-confirmed influenza transmission, either when worn by infected persons, the source control, or by persons in the general community to reduce their susceptibility. End of quote. And yet this same CDC that appears to be partners in crime with Democrat and Rhino-led states, like Big Pharma and the left-stream media, that cherry-pick data, choose to omit their own real science and positions mask-wearing as an absolute necessity rule in line with taking a mandated vaccine. Now, allow me to interrupt for just a moment. Some of what I'm sharing with you may be boring as all hell get out to every one of you people listening, but I'm going to share with you, you do not want to leave this program tonight. Okay? Some of this may be going over your head. It shouldn't be. It's quite simple. But there's a reason I'm sharing this entire piece of writing by Mr. Smith, because of what we're going to finish up this program with. It's going to be a challenge to you, because I'm going to show you that there are some people out there doing something, and I'm going to give you a lesson on exactly how to handle it. This should be the movement that begins in Murfreesboro. Let's continue. Let's talk about China. China's recent situation, of course, we all blame China for the whole thing, but, you know, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Who cares anymore? China's own example proves definitively that the COVID virus is a whole lot less like the plague than it's been presented to the American people to be, and not too unlike the ordinary influenza virus. And all this chaos in America surrounding the virus has been a direct result of the falsification of this one simple basic truth. And so the same CDC toyed with reporting deaths by attributing anything that looks similar to COVID as a case of COVID. And so pneumonia and influenza and COVID were all documented as PIC. This expanded the death figure. It caused it to exceed 100,000. And yet, if the same methods and criteria had been used as was used with the SARS virus, namely severe acute respiratory distress syndrome, by the end of June, the number would have been a mere 16,000. But you see, the best and the brightest of our techno-rats and medical professionals and bumbling fools like Dr. Faustus, head of the CDC, Dr. Deborah Birx, predicted that 2 million Americans would die from the virus. Ho, ho, and they were joined by the U.S. Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation that provided information justifying the lockdowns. The same institution that predicted on May the 3rd that Sweden would suffer 2,800 daily deaths by the 14th of May. But the actual 40 deaths proved them horribly wrong, just like Fauci. Whether massive lies or reckless incompetence or willful complicity with socialists and globalists determined to bring America down, just what in the hell justifies listening to or paying attention to people who produce such flawed and deceptive science? In May, the CDC, a fairly well-discredited institution by now, although the leftist media still aligns with it, was forced to conclude that the lethality rate wasn't their original predictive 5%, but rather it was 0.26%, just double that of a typical flu. And they were only able to achieve such a high percentage by, once again, falsifying data. That means they lied about it. And factoring an unrealistically low figure for asymptomatic infections and inflating the figures of death by COVID. But rather than amending its recommendations in the face of reality, the U.S. federal government and the many state governments have attempted to hide reality by playing a shell game with the definition and number of COVID cases. Look, people, an infectious disease's true lethality is established in a characteristically straightforward manner. One tests a large sample of the population proportionally representative of location and age and sex and race and socioeconomic categories, and a month later, follow up with the subjects in order to tally the rate of infections and learn the results. Period. That's it. But America today still lacks this definitive, direct knowledge of COVID's true lethality. Why? Because bureau rats have prevented widespread testing for the purpose of establishing the one figure that matters most. And without the true figure, they continue to get away with their despicable fear-mongering. And even the current rise in COVID cases around the country, including over 2,000 active cases in Rutherford County, Tennessee, is misleading at best, or at worst. And it's not a viable measure of a public health threat. It's following the same path as the 2009 swine flu pandemic and runs parallel to it in many, many regards. Fear of a new illness, the swine flu, led to a dramatic spike in testing, making it seem like a significant threat existed, as many tested positive. And yet the death toll was fairly insignificant once compared to the so-called positive tests. My friends, America is witnessing the same thing happening with COVID. And the sudden availability of tests and the widespread testing of asymptomatic people is now driving the numbers of COVID cases to the moon, Alice, to the moon. Oh, Fauci called masks necessary in July, although he told 60 Minutes that they did more harm than good in March. without the slightest scientific proof for either assertions. And yet I must insert that I came across a video early today that was recorded some years ago by Fauci, crapping all over masks, that they were useless and they caused greater health issues. So this guy just rides with the wind. Because you see, in surreal fashion, we read LA's health department specify that people should wash their hands after placing a face mask on their face and refrain from touching their face except to don the face mask that contaminates their hands to begin with. Where's the science? Fauci also advocated for governors to permit people to congregate by the hundreds at places like Walmart and Kroger. But heaven forbid they try to worship in the church. This stinking disgrace to science also gave this imprimatur to sex among strangers, but suggested Christians should not take communion because it was too intimate. And what are they doing to stop Black Lives Matter and all the stuff going on in the streets? Or maybe they hope they'll all burn themselves up in a building they caught on fire. What level of partisan stupidity does it require to believe any of this, people? Come on. Let it go. Quick note to the producer, please. I need this. As noted by Dr. Paul, even some Republicans are now being influenced and swayed by the mammoth amount of propaganda, that's a polite word for BS, folks, that inundates the media airwaves today. He recently wrote that can we pass on it? I really need every bit of time today. Please, please. Thank you, man. Appreciate that. Dr. Paul recently wrote that faced with a virus that has killed about one-third as many people as the normal seasonal flu virus in 2018, Texas Governor Greg Abbott has endorsed a partial shutdown of the economy, resulting in millions tossed into the despair of unemployment. He arbitrarily shut down bars because massively increased testing showed more people have been exposed to the virus, and he mandated that people wear face masks. And neither shutting down bars instead of restaurants or Walmarts nor forcing people to wear masks will have any effect on the progression of the virus through society. But at least it looks like he's doing something. Oh, keep in mind, Ron Paul is a doctor. People, no one can miss the manner in which those who would be king have hyped the dangers of COVID-19 and integrated them into the agendas of their constituencies' manifold components to add force and momentum to the long-standing demands of each. The activists of Black Lives Matter, women's rights, feminism, Antifa, global warming have readily adopted and supported all manner of socioeconomic restrictions on the pretense of saving lives from the virus, as if it were their own cause. And so as the activists of BLM and Antifa burn down our cities, they also wear masks in solidarity for their Red Brigade communist comrades to show their commitment to the public health, while simultaneously screaming their support for the deviant LGBTQCS sexuality, abortion, ending the nuclear family. And it's all focused on the fundamental transformation of America and ensuring Trump is unseated in November. Going forward into the next decade, just as COVID-19 has been weaponized and politicized by the far left and Democratic Party's advocates of all that is Marx, and we're not talking about the brothers, and Mao, as in abortion, global warming, open borders, the censorship of anything that they deem to be hate speech. Every new virus, every sneeze, every Gesundheit and cough will be new justification to step up controls and force Americans to comply with some other bit of tyranny. Oh, no, their concern with the human condition has far less to do with humane treatment or human rights of anyone than with seizing ever more power for themselves. Today, it's wears a mask or you cannot buy groceries. What will it be tomorrow? You cannot buy food unless you give up your firearms. You cannot buy food unless you accept the mandated wonder vaccine. And you cannot buy food unless you lick my boots. Maybe it just accelerates to wear the mask or get on the train. We have a nice camp and hot showers waiting for you. All America has been subjected to unbridled government control through most of this year under the guise of a national emergency that has been used to trample on our constitutional rights by way of an onslaught of executive orders that restricted every aspect of our personal lives. From work to play to the education of our children and on to when and how we can worship. They have dictated our medical treatment, forced us to follow guidelines that are not evidence-based for the greater good. And although government plays a role in the controlling the spread of infectious diseases, every individual has the right to be responsible for their own life and any perceived risk that they may take. It's not the government's place to supplant anyone's moral and intellectual capacity to make sound decisions for themselves and their children, and it's dangerous to allow it to ever take place, sacrificing one's personal right for the collective. My friends, mandatory medicine and mandated interventions such as social distancing and mask wearing have no place in a free society. Every America has the right to make responsible decisions for themselves and their children based on their own unique medical needs and particular set of circumstances. Reject the mask mandates, refuse to comply, for never before in American history has there been so great a need for all America's true patriots to stand up and defend their inalienable rights. And why is that, my friends? Why should we do this? What do you do? I'd like to think we all stand for freedom and liberty and justice for all, but the question I have to pose to you now, and this is where it becomes ever more important to all that we've discussed during this hour, who will defend Americans' inalienable rights? Well, I'm going to tell you right now about a group that has done exactly that. And I want this to be a distinct lesson plan for the rest of you. I have often said on this program many times, how many hours a day do you listen to this network or anyone else's programs? What I'm saying to you is not to hurt this network. It's to help put this network on a map that is so damn huge, it'll make your head spin. Justin Smith returned from a meeting with Mayor Ketron that was arranged by Andy Olson. And he says this meeting, which has taken place today, was quite telling. Essentially, Ketron passed the buck to Governor Bill Lee in Tennessee, explaining that the governor had asked all the state's mayors to support this mandate in a meeting which they held on Monday. And so he's going along with this until August the 3rd in light of the increase in COVID cases in Rutherford County. And he also mentioned that he personally had a good friend that was just placed on a ventilator. Boy, is that true or is that just another line of BS? So Justin explained to the marvelous mayor, Ketron or whatever. Maybe it's Mayor COVID. Who knows? But the explanation was given that the increase was only in positive results from an increase in testing, not actual confirmed cases of COVID. Furthermore, it was made clear that masks are proven not to be effective in stopping the infected from passing the virus or preventing the uninfected from catching it. Something else addressed was the fact that the mayor was penalizing the greater majority of the population, since 99% of those who catch the virus survive. Noting that of the 4,700 cases in Rutherford County, Tennessee, only 43 had died, equal to 1.1% mortality rate from said virus, with national figures actually even much lower at 0.05%. And as such that his imprimatur on the mask had given added incentive for groceries to carry on with their own private policy requiring masks. Well, Keytron initially responded that he mandated the mask because so many people were ignoring his guidelines under the Rutherford Responsible, which got an uproar from the people in Justin's group, people like Jay Hill. And all the people that attended this meeting with the mayor this morning were of the same mind, that they all, each and every single one, had the moral and intellectual capacity to decide what is right and proper for our own health, or their own health and concerns. And as one lady noted, she doesn't wear a mask, but she does respect other people's space and tries to social distance if someone is nearby and wearing a mask, as she takes that as a sign. They have greater concerns over the lethal nature of COVID than she does. The point being, we're just not going to wear the masks, the group was emphatic to the mayor. Well, the mayor says, well, I won't be enforcing it. You know, officers will only stop people to educate them to the dangers of the virus. Whereupon Justin stated it was a violation of the civil rights as well. If he isn't going to enforce the mask mandate, then why even bother stopping anyone? It's all a great show. And it's like Justin stated in that which I shared with you earlier. But I guess that the mayor must be seen as doing something. He said his order came after groceries started this, grocery stores, to which he was told that some groceries in Weatherford County were not mandating the masks, like Junior's Foodland, until he issued his order. Along with all the other mayor's illegitimate orders, grocery stores now feel justified in following suit. Well, many others in the group in attendance also addressed the religious rights aspect of this, the harmful effects that occur from catching the virus waste inside a mask, constantly rebreathing it along with the lowered levels of oxygen. Several women with young children were in attendance were actually concerned over known damage to a human body from wearing masks over extended period of times. And they didn't want their children wearing them. Bill Keytron stated that children under 12 are not in the order and do not have to wear a mask in school, as his own order countermands the school board's decision to require masks. So you see, we've got competing government entities mandating several different things. And people, I insert this. That means you've got different individuals trying to buy their own position of royalty within some governmental entity. As was reported by WKRN, which I'm assuming is a local radio or television station in the area, the Rutherford County School Board voted unanimously two nights ago to require students to wear masks in schools. But the decision came after a nearly two-hour discussion by school board members who at first were, well, they were divided on the issue. One woman, Melissa, thanked Bill Keytron for taking the time to listen to everyone. And to his credit, he did stand there on the steps of the courthouse in the heat and actually gave everyone an opportunity to voice their concerns and be heard. And after Justin made mention of all the left-wingers and communists at MTSU who had probably burned his phone lines up, he gave a little chuckle and said, yes, last week this side got chewed. And he kind of slapped his own backside. And today this side's getting chewed. And he slapped his, appropriately, Justin, his right backside. At that point, Miss Audra Spence asked if he was aware that many of the doctors and other proponents in the group advocating for the mask mandate were leftist Democrats who had donated funds and raised money for the Biden campaign. In the end, he said that he will be listening to all sides, and he'll make a decision whether or not to extend the order past August the 3rd. And when that day arrives, after someone in the crowd said that Governor Bill Lee was looking at extending the mandate past that point, one woman, Audra Shelley Spence, a business owner in Shelbyville, drove to Murfreesboro to attend this, as did another young lady from the Manchester, Tennessee area. Oh, it wasn't a large crowd, but it was a great crowd of fine patriots who knew their minds and the issue at hand and made an outstanding showing and a firm and strong stand for liberty. Quick question, Justin. That daughter of yours, the one with the phenomenal eyes, I suspect if she'd been there, of course she could have lost her profession, she wouldn't have taken any garbage from this mayor nor the governor. Justin concludes by saying it's not over by a long shot. Since Andy Olson, the event organizer, is filing a lawsuit to halt the mask mandate in Rutherford County, all those who understand that this is about so much more than a fairly survivable virus had better be standing up and being recognized by throwing all the support they can in this direction. Behind Andy Olson. For those of you in Tennessee. My friends, all of this is about stopping an unconscionable, reprehensible overreach of power by the state and county governments that can and will have severe detrimental repercussions and consequences in the future if left unanswered, as if it were normal. And that, my friends, listeners, is where you need to come in. I will have both of these published tonight on several of our websites. Federal Observer for sure. I'm going to publish the first part of this on Dr. Kelly's website. And we get down to the end, I will provide a link that will take them to the second part of this. It is imperative that you read it, that you absorb it. It's one thing to listen. And look, I beg you in this particular instance, get the archives of this program tonight. Share it with everyone on your email list, everyone on your stupid Facebook list, everyone, anywhere you can reach out to. And if it cost you some friends, so be it. They didn't have the friend to begin with. It's more important to get this information out. But on top of that, once you absorb this information and begin to share it, you are going to have to start finding groups of people that you can go in and approach your mayor, your governor's office, your elected officials. Links are provided there with all the documentation with the CDC published earlier this year, which was an update of something that they'd done some time back, but it overrides everything that the medical profession is trying to shove down our throats today. All of this is designed for complete and total political upheaval and a dictatorial takeover of you and I, we the people. And all I can do is submit this to you. And it was one of the titles that was offered to me by Justin Smith when he sent the first portion of the column. And I'm going to say this to every one of you, offensive or not. And this is how you must begin to talk to the people you know. Stop sitting around waiting for somebody else to do it. You must be the someone else. It's real simple. Lick my boots or get on the train. But this is how we've got to start to think. Are you going to sit back and let the LGBTQTs take over in this country? You're going to let the Black Lives Matter take over in this country? Come on. Joe Biden's the clown. Not that Trump isn't either. Humpty Dumpty. Perfect name for him. You got to love that, Justin. Trump is losing it. He won't shut up. He's got this Twitter mentality. He's got this social media mentality. Biden is just losing it. Come on, the guy's got dementia. He's on the border of Alzheimer's. I watch his commercials on TV, and they're so perfectly done. But to watch the guy speak live, he's bleh, 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 bleh. He's a babbling brook. Trump has done tons of executive orders, but where's all the promises kept? The swamp has not been drained. That swamp should have been drained the first week he was in office, booting out everybody out of federal government. It was an Obama supporter. Every single one of them. You take a look at the list of all the people that Joe Biden has been advised to consider for his vice presidency. In all cases, black females. They're trying to buy the black vote again. It's what the Democrats are so damn good at. And you sit back being entertained, tuning in every night. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on. Tuning in, listening, learning is one thing. But what do you do with the education you're getting, people? It's time to get on the train. We're past the 310 to Yuma, folks. It's very frustrating to me. All of this is the greatest assault on our civil liberties. Why is it that churches are being forced to shut down all over the country? Every church in California has been ordered not to open their doors. Three churches are now suing Governor Newsom in the state of California. As far as I'm concerned, part of their evidence should be that complete 900 and some odd page CDC report, which contradicts everything that they're doing today. Everything. The one comment that really struck home to me is the number of people in the medical community that are making contributions to the Biden campaign that are supporting every bit of lying BS that's being dribbled out of the mouths of the Faucis and the rest of these idiots. You know what? I have a television in my office. I've had that television on twice in the month and a half or 2 months that I moved my office back down into this room. I could care less about it. My wife's got news on in the other room. Sometime I tell her, enough is enough. Turn it off. I don't need it. I live it every single day. Because I don't care if it's Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or whomever. Guess what? They all tell their own little stories, don't they? Huh? They all have their own leanings. They still buy into the BS no matter what's being said, how it's being presented. I don't have time for it. As a rule, there's no one on television that will spend a full hour with this kind of commentary, sharing it with you, the truth, and challenging you with it. Because they might not want to offend one of their sponsors. That's why I don't have, only twice in the 25 years I've been on the air have I actually had a sponsor. Guess what? There's a reason I don't accept sponsors. I will not be subject to the dictations because I might have offended their owner with something that he disagreed with. Well, guess what? It still comes down to the same damn thing. Lick my boots or get on the train. Okay? If you don't understand that, you never will. In which case, that maybe you shouldn't be tuning in at all. Now, I have a moment or so, and I need to insert this. Several days ago, we made a very, very interesting on silver offerings. I still have access to them. I do apologize. I've received calls from a number of people that one form or another we've not been able to get in touch with. I've tried calling back Robert, the 940 area code. You don't have a voicemail, so just so you know. Leroy, I haven't forgotten you. Mike up in Hampshire, I'll try to get a hold of you tonight. Windsor is the gentleman that called the other day inquiring about where I am on shortwave. And as I explained on the airwave, he heard that reference because of the conclusion of our four-part series From Here to Eternity that we aired last Thursday and Friday. I've not been on shortwave for 15 years, my friends. Those were reruns. And a gentleman who, and sometimes I can't even read my own writing, a gentleman who called me named either Ronald or Arnold, I apologize with the 857 area code. I've not forgotten you. It has been one eventful week. It's insane. I am available. Talk to any of you folks tonight if you care to. Hey, Leroy Nuggets. I haven't forgotten you either, brother. So we're here. It's been crazy. All of this stuff has affected me physically, emotionally. I've made no bones about it, people. But when I received all of this from Justin, I got the main article yesterday, and I just didn't get around to but this that I've shared with you tonight about the meeting that they had, and that's what it's going to take. Gathering a group of people together who get it, who understand it, they can approach their local people. And if that means starting to go to talk to the managers at your local grocery stores, etc., etc., this is how you're going to have to learn to educate the opposition. In many cases, it's not even the opposition. It's those people, those businesses that are so damned scared that they just shut down, quivering at the knee, and fall for the BS. How long are you going to continue to do that? Me? I go into Home Depot, I don't wear a mask. I go into Lowe's, I don't wear a mask. I told you about the guy in Lowe's that very expensive shorts, probably from a Brother Tony neighborhood up in a golf community, who'd gone into Lowe's and started screaming at four guys, probably in their late 20s, early 30s, that were looking some things over that they needed to buy. And he started screaming at them because they didn't wear masks. And that's when I went up to the guy and said, sir, I said, just listen to what I have to say. Do you realize that the amount of time that you wear a mask, and I'll bet you walk out of this store and keep wearing the mask in 100-plus degree temperatures, and you probably get in your car and still wear the mask, do you realize that the amount of time you are wearing this mask is causing you physical and emotional greater problems? You need to calm down. You need to understand and stop buying what the government and your politicians are telling you. You know, I had two appointments. Remember, I shared with all of you. Went to a doctor. I had to go to ER a couple of months ago, back in April. I have yet to go visit the follow-up visits to the doctors and the eye specialists. You know why? Because I refuse to walk in there and sit down and wear a mask. In one case, for close to 2 hours. That's why I'm not going. I'm working on getting my own stuff sorted out again. I don't care for these people. I'm not going to play their game. Maybe what I should do is say, yes, I've got the papers. They're all filled out. I'm bringing them in. Oh, by the way, here's a 900-page report from the CDC that completely overrides every bit of crap you're trying to dish out to your patients today. Well, we reached the end of our day today. Yeah, we're going to close with our regular piece because it's an important one, my friend. Even if it's shortened a little bit, Michael, it's okay. I hope you'll stay with us. I hope you'll do what you have to do. If you missed a portion of this broadcast, do go back in and listen to the entire archive tonight. There's far too much that needs to be heard. Okay? Just got a note from Dr. E, who says that a friend told her that they would not let her into the 99 market if they refused taking the temperature. She called the cops. Under what rights do they have? The cops said they couldn't do anything. Then I wouldn't go into that market. I turn around and walk out. What is that, a market, or is that a 99-cent store? It's crazy. Michael, where are you? It's running. I couldn't hear it. You guys take care of yourselves. I'll be with you again tomorrow live. Wow. 5 days in a row, Bubba. I'll see you. God bless. Take care. Damn it, take that mask off, would you? Unless you want to go rob a bank. Good night. Found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year. Yeah, this is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door. Say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take all my chances. Say, I sang it 20 years and a day. There's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love. Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to hope, there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.